Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Podcast of the Storm. This is our very first episode. My name is Vamp. I am here with my two friends, Jekka.
Hello.
And Lil Albi.
Hey, what's up?
And we are going to bring you a podcast about Blizzard's newly announced title, Heroes of the Storm. We're here because we love Blizzard games, we love MOBAs, and we got a little taste of Heroes of the Storm at BlizzCon, and it really wasn't enough. We've pretty much spent the past week just talking about it together, and we figured we should share some of our thoughts, and also get some feedback from the rest of the growing Heroes community. So we are excited about starting this podcast. We plan to use it just to provide all of you guys with sort of the latest Heroes news, as well as, again, just a forum for us to kind of talk about our thoughts and to ask each other questions and ask you guys questions and just have some good discussion about the game. The game, obviously, is just in alpha now, so we won't have a ton of content to talk about, but we hope to release a podcast monthly or so, just depending on what kind of information is out there until the game is released and until beta starts. So we will start off just with some intros, who we are all, who all of us are, and sort of our gaming experience. So Jekka, why don't you kick us off with who you are?
Okay, so with Blizzard games, I've played all of them. I don't play StarCraft that much, but I have multiple 90s, or what are they, 60s in Diablo, and I tank as a DK in WoW, doing raid progression and stuff like that. But I play video games mainly for fun, and I've played LoL for the last 2 years. Only Bronze 5, but...
Hey, you're not Bronze 5, you're Bronze 1, come on.
Oh, Bronze 1, yeah. Well, I got through almost to Silver 1, but I lost my series, so that kind of discouraged me from playing any more ranked. But I really like this the MOBA genre, and I'm hoping that Heroes kind of changes a lot of the things that I'm frustrated about LoL with.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are, certainly. It seems like League, or MOBAs in general, are a great genre, but League's implementation might not be the best for everybody. But Lil Albi, who are you?
Hey, I'm Lil Albi. I have played Blizzard games not as much as Vamp and Jekka. Played WoW for a few months. Didn't care for it a whole lot. As far as StarCraft goes, I played the crap out of that game. StarCraft 1, loved it. Wings of Liberty, started playing quite a bit weekly and monthly, and realized it was taking over my life. So I quit that and started playing MOBAs, where I'm a Silver 4 in League of Legends, and really enjoy it. Really, again, enjoy the genre. Definitely fun when it's competitive and you get to rage quit and do all the other fun things that we enjoy doing as gamers. Other gaming history, I have played a lot of console, Xbox 360, Call of Duty, Halo, Battlefield, all the above. So, been gaming for the past 4 or 5 years of my life, and it is a hobby that I enjoy doing very much.
All right, great. Well, I am Vamp. I have been gaming, you know, pretty much my whole life now. Spent a lot of that gaming time with Jekka in primarily WoW, but we started back in the days of EverQuest and Dark Age of Camelot. But yeah, we're in WoW now. I am a big old fat panda rogue for our raid team. Also play D3. Love StarCraft 2, Silver ranked player in StarCraft 2, and Silver player in LoL as well. So certainly none of us are pro gamers, but we love it. It's a great hobby, and we love talking about games. So let's get started with that. Both Jekka and I were at BlizzCon, and we did have the chance to play Heroes. We pretty much we went to a couple panels, but pretty much the rest of the time was spent standing in line to play Heroes. So we'll talk about our alpha impressions. Lil Albee was not at BlizzCon, but we've talked with him about what we saw, and he's read up on pretty much all the articles and watched the videos out there. So, and since he is a LoL player and he hasn't played the game, he'll be able to sort of give us a perspective on what he hopes to see without of having hopped in. So, wanted to just talk about some of our general impressions of the alpha. So, Jekka, we can start with you. What did you think?
So, I found it extremely fun, as it's one of their main goals in their panels that they're talking about was they want people to be able to jump into the game and start with the action right away. So right from basically the go signal, you're fighting with the other team. In LoL, it seems like you try to whittle them down to get that first kill, because kills are so important, and if you get one or two quick kills, you kind of start to snowball. Whereas in Heroes, it really seemed like if you died early, it didn't matter that much. They just let you go rush in. I enjoy rush in and just kill a whole bunch of things or die to because you were outnumbered or something, and you didn't have this vast impact on losing the rest of the game. And I really enjoyed that I could just jump in right away without, being bored. Sometimes I play support for Vamp, and I have to just sit there and kind of click around and put some wards down, and I don't really do much else for 12, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think after our third or fourth game, I observed that one of the other of us had died within the first 15 seconds, because we basically tower dove like an idiot and ended up dying. But it definitely does, certainly the action starts a lot quicker, which is very nice, but it also doesn't have that same snowball-y or old crap. If you give up first blood because they invaded in LoL, you're like, well, great, the game's over practically. Well, that isn't actually true. That's sort of what it feels like, just because that advantage is so big. But it definitely seemed like in Heroes that snowballing didn't happen quite as much, just because of the shared team experience and just because there wasn't as much itemization or a death wasn't just hugely beneficial for the other team as much.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
I feel like that would promote recklessness a little bit. Do you see that having a huge impact on the game as far as when you actually go to dive somebody or attack somebody? So, and does it hurt you in any way?
So, I mean, obviously, you can't just be going around dying willy-nilly. I felt like the biggest downside of a death was just not losing your presence. So whereas at the beginning of the game, when the death timers were much shorter, later on, I found myself, and it seemed like the teams at least, were certainly being much more careful, because since the objectives were very important, if I went off and just by myself dove a tower or something and died, then it would be a 5-4 team fight, and my team would really kind of be set back in that case. So I definitely see what you mean. My feeling was it wasn't promoting recklessness as much as it was just giving a little bit more freedom to the champions or the players. But I don't know. I could have been biased because I was enjoying it so much. What do you think, Jekka?
I agree. In the beginning, it as I mentioned, it doesn't seem like it matters that much, and you can be reckless in the beginning. And I don't think even in competitive play it would matter that much, but I believe that you point out a good point there, where you don't want to be reckless with your life if you're actually going to play seriously, because you will want to be there to capture objectives as people can. You can go and kill the other camps that give you, what are they called, mercenaries, I believe, and you want to be able to run around and do that. You get experience for your team, and while you're dead, you can't do that.
Yep, that is the other point, is that if there is the downside where if you do die, the other opponent will be in the lane getting experience, and it's not just experience for him, it's just experience for his whole team. So, you know, we're not, or like, we didn't want to just tower dive every time, or that's not the best strategy, but it just didn't feel like it was as much of a, oh crap, the game's over if I died. So one of the things I thought was really cool was that there are, and a lot of people are stoked about, is that there are different maps. So it's not just one map. So far they had 3 maps available for play. We only got to play on 2 of the maps, Blackheart's Bay and Haunted Mines. But it was really cool how it wasn't, I mean, it just makes it so it's not the same exact game over and over, because the objectives change and the way that the map is played changed totally. And I imagine in the future, you know, positioning is going to change, team compositions could change based on the map and that sort of thing. What did you think about that? And why don't you also tell us about Blackheart's Bay?
Yeah, so it definitely gives a variety of gameplay each time you step into a match, where I feel like in LoL you play Summoner's Rift, and that's kind of what the whole game is revolves around. They try to add Dominion and stuff, but they're kind of like two separate. Like, ranked is just Summoner's Rift, then you're ranked in Dominion, you're ranked in, it's not just one game experience that you have in different maps. And so I did like the different experiences for, it kind of kept things a little bit fresher, and I didn't get as bored with, you know, if we can switch between maps. With Blackheart's Bay, the main objective there is a guy sits waiting for you to collect, I believe they call them doubloons. They're basically coins, and once you get 10 of your team gets 10 of them, you give them to him, and he like hops in his pirate ship and starts bombarding enemy towns and forts, and it just like starts blowing stuff up. So it's a very important objective to capture so that you can push, right? In our last game, when we did really quite well, we were capturing it over and over again, and I don't know if we really killed much of the enemy's team's fort. We just let the ship do it, and we just kind of kept the pressure on by collecting the ship and then keeping the lanes kind of pushed, and it was just we just kind of steamrolled that game.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Another thing, correct me if I'm wrong, but you get disabled, or you were disabled when you turn the coins in, and it's like a channel. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. You have to sit there, and I remember multiple times screaming at Vamp to like protect me, because he was on Uther, who has a stun, and a dude was coming at me, and I was like putting in 6 tokens to get us to the 10 that we needed, and I was like, stun him, I'm almost done, because he could come, and if he damaged me, he would have stopped me from giving those coins to the I believe his name was Blackheart.
Yeah, that was another thing that I mean, we'll talk later about how the role of support definitely felt like it was making a much bigger of an impact than sometimes you feel in LoL. Granted, they're doing the Season 4 changes to supports, but it felt like I was protecting you, and or it felt like I was the protector for the team, so it was you or whoever else had coins to turn in. They would sit there and channel them, and they'd be vulnerable, and if the enemy team saw that, you know, a couple times they came in to stop that or gank you while you were vulnerable, and I could just sit there and kind of zone them out or heal you or stun them or whatever. So that was pretty cool. The other interesting aspect I think that adds is that it kind of there's just way more decisions that come into play. Like, I'm excited to see competitive players play this, because there's going to be so much more or opportunities for small decisions to impact the game, I think. Like, who's carrying the coins, you know, in team fights. So the mechanic of this was that you would get coins from a particular minion, or like this treasure chest that you could attack, or from killing a mercenary camp you could get some coins. But you carried those coins on you until you did this channel where you turned them in. And if an enemy killed you, then your coins would drop on the ground. So it just kind of makes for an interesting scenario where, you know, if someone on the enemy team has 9 coins, you're probably going to want to dive that person. But if they're a tank, you know, you could have your assassins in the background doing a ton of damage. So it opens it up for a lot of, like, micro decisions, I guess.
In Blackheart's Bay and even Haunted Mines, are there specific lanes or specific paths that heroes will take to confront other heroes, or specific lanes that minions come down, or is it more of an open map?
Yep, so it's basically specific lanes that the minions come down. So I believe in Haunted Mines there was just 2 lanes, and in Blackheart's Bay there were 3 lanes. And the lane basically is just a place that the minions walk down. Then there was typically a gate with 2 turrets, and then sort of the city or the forts with some more turrets around it, and then the inner gate with another fort, and then the actual castle. But yeah, the lanes, it certainly, of course, you know, in LoL it's just how the meta is, and the lanes could change up, but it wasn't like the assassin and the support go bot and the, you know, the tank goes top or anything like that. It was, lanes were just the places where minions went through, basically, and team fights happened pretty much all over the map. You know, objectives would spawn in pretty much all across the map, so it felt pretty free-flowing in that regard. It wasn't, to me, where in LoL most of the big team fights happen in the mid lane. I can recall fighting like pretty much anywhere. How did you feel about it, Jekka?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It was just, I don't remember there being 3 lanes of minions in Blackheart's Bay. I just remember 2 minions. There was kind of like a 3rd mid lane, but maybe I'm just misremembering that. But that's not that important. There definitely wasn't set lanes where champions needed to go. There were also vision towers where you go and capture it, and it would give you vision of like the middle of that lane, which and kind of the surrounding brush, which was really helpful for setting up ganks and things like that. And then all of the 2 lanes were on the outside. Those were like the 2 main lanes. And all of the objectives were mainly in the middle. I mean, there was a chest at the very south and a golem at the very top, but those were those weren't like focused on a whole lot. We mainly focused on the objectives in the middle, and that's where I found that most of the team fights happened, especially around in the very middle was the pirate ship, and just below the pirate ship was Blackheart, and we had a lot of fights around putting the coins in to his chest, and so that's where I wouldn't say that there were a ton of team fights in lanes. We would go and try to gank, but then as people were coming from both lanes to help out, we would meet basically in the middle and fight there.
Yep, and just for the listeners, the Haunted Mines, the main mechanic around that was that there was sort of the upper level, which would be your typical map, and then every some period of time you could enter the mines, and you would go underneath the map where there were a bunch of minions, and then also like a big boss dragon type guy, and each of the minions carried some skulls on them, and the boss obviously had a lot of skulls, and there was a total of 100 skulls in the mine, and once the 100 skulls were collected, both sides would summon a huge grave golem, this big NPC, just basically like battering ram, and whoever the amount of skulls that your team captured would directly affect the strength of that siege golem. So if or grave golem. If both teams had 50 skulls, then their golems would be equal, but if one team had 75 skulls and the other team only had 25 skulls, then the team with 75 skulls golem would be significantly more powerful. And he's just this monster that focuses on turrets, basically, and has a ton of health and just tears through people's city. So that was
To comment about him, so he spawns in, your golem spawns in your base, and as he spawns, he will just start walking towards the other people's base. And so your goal is to kill the other person's golem or to defend yours and try to get yours as far possible, because once he dies, that's where he dies, and when he gets summoned again, that's where he will start. And so you try to push your dude as far as possible, and you also try to kill the enemy's golem as close to their base so it's not going to summon right next to yours and just demolish everything before you can get to it again. And I found that that was a very interesting... it's rage mechanic. One thing that they mentioned was that the games, they're trying to aim for 20 minutes. In the alpha version we played, it was like a hard stop at 20 minutes. But from the panel, it seemed like they weren't going to have a hard stop, but they were aiming for 20 to 25 minute games. And with this golem, it is kind of like a soft enrage, because every time you summon it, it will just keep moving towards the enemy's palace, and eventually it will just have destroyed everything. And so you want to get your golem the beefiest by collecting the most amount of skulls and push it as far as you can, because by the end, it will just, if it's huge, it will just run through the enemy's base and just be demolishing everything quickly before they can kill it.
Yeah, and certainly, disclaimer, we are total scrubs, and you know, it was our first time ever playing the game without knowing anything about it, and we were playing with three other strangers, so we probably weren't doing the most efficient min-max routes or strategies. But one of the things that... So it was challenging, but also fun for me at times to be like, man, do we like push the lane with our Grave Golem, or do we go back and kill their Grave Golem? Like, you know, what do we do? But I think it's definitely going to reward teamwork, for sure. Communication and teamwork. But one of the things that making the game much more objective focused is that it seemed to us like it actually keeps the teams somewhat balanced. I know some people at BlizzCon had the concern that there would be even more snowballing. Like, well, you know, if you get the Grave Golem or you get the pirate ship first and then you continue to get it, is there ever going to be a chance for the other team to come back? Or is it just going to be totally out of hand because maybe the first team won a team fight early in the game? But that wasn't my experience. And I know Jekka also, he really liked one of the developer matches because a big comeback. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, that we got to watch two of the developer designer team matches, and they're actually really fun to play and watch. And League is pretty fun to play or to watch as well. And it was good to see that Heroes of the Storm was just as fun to watch. So in the first game, the red team was way far ahead. They had captured. They were like in control of the objectives. They were in control of. They had demolished like both lanes, forts, and it looked like they were snowballing pretty hard. But the blue team made some very good decisions of a few key, like capturing of the golem. I know that they went down into the mines, collected, I think, 75 of the skulls before the other team could. And then they used that big advantage of having their golem was 75 and the other team's was 25, so they killed the other teams really quickly, and they just pushed with their golem, and they just they won small team fights as they were going and basically leveled out the team fights, it was not snowballing anymore. Yeah, there you go. The blue team actually came back and won that game by making really smart decisions on objectives. And so, whereas in LoL, you can make smart objectives by killing Baron and the Dragon, but they're not going to like bring you all the way back if the other team is snowballing.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, that's crazy because even watching the World Championships for League of Legends, SKT T1, they would get ahead early game, and there was just no chance for the other team to come back, no matter what they did. And I mean, it happened all throughout Worlds. The team that would get ahead early most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, just totally took it, and there was no chance of ever coming back. So I guess that's kind of encouraging as far as Heroes versus LoL goes, that you can come back and you have a chance to win, even if you're down early game.
Yeah, poor Cloud9. They got that early game loss.
Well, let's not talk about the US teams.
Yeah, true.
Another thing on that same topic that I found, there didn't seem to be items in the alpha version, but then we saw, there might be items. I didn't really get a feel of where that was, because I remember seeing a screenshot of something and we're like, wait, are those items or are those like masteries or something? But I really liked that the main important piece was levels. It was not items, right? So you can't snowball by getting just a ton of gold and buying awesome items, whereas the other team has no, you just can't match up with like a super beefy Tryndamere that just kills everybody, goes in rage, and he can't die. That won't happen because there's no items. And I actually really like that. When you level up, you get a choice of three or four ways to enhance your character. So as a tank or as Arthas one game, I was able to like either get health or health per second, or I could get extra damage. And I felt that that way of giving you extra, making your character better, was much more interesting and tied to experience, because it was, you got it when you leveled up, rather than having like going back to town and buying stuff with the gold that you've accumulated. So it was much more of a team experience. If your team got a lot of experience, your whole team was going to be better.
Yeah, I think one thing that I liked or felt was that it definitely simplified the individual champion decisions or paths that you could take. So, like, in League, typically you level your skills in a set path. Like, you might switch that up depending on the enemy's team composition or how things are going, but typically, you know, you always want to level W first or whatever that is. And then you really get your variation in builds from your items, or that's what you're supposed to do. Certainly, a lot of times people just, you know, always rush Blade of the Rune King or whatever. But I think the intent in League is that if you're losing a lane, well, you should build armor or build magic resist or whatever. So you get that variety in your item build. But the cool thing about Heroes to me was that you didn't level each individual skill. Just like every time you level up, I'm going to put a point in Q. It was literally like you got the choice to, you know, sometimes it was specific to abilities. It could be increasing the damage an ability did, or adding a slow to an ability, or it could be one of those things where, like Jekka was talking about, plus 15 ability power or plus 200 health, where you made sort of those decisions that were specific to the game that you were playing right then. So it's not always going to be, certainly, you know, there's going to be a best path to get the maximum damage, but it's going to be easier for players, I think, to say, like, you know what, I'm dying a ton. I don't think I'm going to take the extra damage. I'm going to take the health or the extra escape or whatever like that. And you also get to choose your ultimate. So, you know, again, it wasn't just I'm leveling these skills. Every time you really had a choice between sort of, like, talents or buffing your abilities. And I'm pretty sure all of the champions, at least that I played, had two different ultimates that they could choose from, which was kind of cool.
The one that I believe the StarCraft dude,
Abathur,
yes, he was the only one that didn't have
That's right. A
second ultimate, or what did they call it, a heroic ability? Actual term. His main ultimate or his main heroic ability was to, like, I think it was to infest one of the other your team's heroes. Yep.
Like clone them or whatever.
Yeah, and they were talking about they haven't actually created another one for him, so he was the only one there with only one.
Gotcha. Yeah, they certainly did do their best to avoid using League terms, and they never mentioned League or the word MOBA or anything like that, which I thought was kind of interesting. But let's we'll give some of our champion impressions and sort of wrap up what we thought of what we saw, and then we'll get into some of our speculations or our hopes for the game. So it definitely did seem to me like some of the champions needed a little bit of tuning, but that's totally understandable considering it's alpha. I got absolutely destroyed by Sonya the Barbarian. I think Jekka was getting pretty pissed at me because I was like 0-5 and we almost didn't play again, but luckily we played one more game and crushed the enemy. But yeah, man, Sonya was just demolishing me. It's sort of the spin to win. Like she seemed pretty powerful. And then the next game, didn't you play her, Jekka?
Yep, I played as her.
Yeah, so she's pretty beefy. Same way, like, and I played Uther that next game, and I think I died maybe once. But even the devs and Dustin Browder, the game producer, was talking about how Uther like couldn't die and he always escaped and everything. So there was some tuning that needed to happen, I think. But one of the things that I loved was, I mean, the game was just really visually appealing, and you also like I just felt like a badass, like. Pretty much every champion I played, and even the champions on my team that I was watching, I was just like, damn, like, that's cool. Like, it's kind of that feeling in LoL, like, if you're watching competitive gaming, or even if you, like, if you land a Thresh hook, or if you're on Orianna and you get a good shockwave, just sort of those moments in game where it's just like, oh, yeah, like, that was sweet, or that looked cool. Like, I pretty much felt that way with all the champions I played. Like, it just... You felt like an actual hero, like Carradine just snatching someone and demolishing them, or, you know, Rainer calling in this huge, huge battleship to demolish people, and it just felt pretty, you just felt like a badass, you felt like a hero.
Yeah, and they gave, Uther was kind of funny since he could heal and stun, and so that's why he could always get away. And Kerrigan was very... she seemed to be able to just rip people apart very quickly, which was kind of fun. And then I know that we played some... I played as Arthas one game. He was interesting, and I think I got quite a bit of kills with him. He was a tank, and then I also played as Diablo, who was a tank. He was pretty fun. He has his, like, lightning breath... and like his stomp, things like that. I played as Sonya, who has the heroic leap, which is extremely fun to use because you can leap over walls and land on somebody, and it stuns everyone. And we got a bunch of kills that way.
Yeah, who are you guys' favorite champions that you got to play?
I probably had the most fun on Tassadar. He's a support. He's the, I think he's like the high prophet of the Protoss, but I think I had the most fun on him. I played Tassadar, who I loved, Nazeba, who's like the witch doctor, and he was a little bit harder for me to control. He's what they call the specialist role. I guess I should give the brief explanation of they had four sort of roles that they could define champions with, which were assassin, which is just a damage dealer, warrior, which is a tank, support, which is like Uther, Tassadar, healers pretty much, and then they had specialists who did a couple different things. So like the witch doctor was supposedly really good at sieging towers. He could summon a lot of minion spiders and frogs and stuff like that. And then they had that guy we mentioned earlier, Abathur, who sort of just sat in the back of the base, and he had like pretty much global abilities, so he could boost his allies, he could clone allies with his ultimate, and basically add another Kerrigan or whoever to the fight. So those are the four roles. And I had a lot of fun playing as assassins, but the champion that felt the most fun to me was Tassadar.
I definitely liked Sonya the most. I believe she was in the melee tank category. And I went with health and damage. No, health regen and damage. And Vamp was playing Uther at that time, so he just kept healing me. And I would just jump. I would just like whirlwind in and jump in. And it was a lot of fun to just kind of, as Lil Albie mentioned earlier, I was just playing reckless. But we were winning so hardcore that it was just super fun to jump around and stuff.
Yeah, she's pretty OP too, so that helped. I'm sure. I'm just bitter because she destroyed me. Okay, well, we'll get into sort of our hopes for the game or what we would like to see coming. I'll kick it off. Two of the main things that I hope to see that I didn't necessarily see there or we haven't heard much word on is that sense of progression and competition. And I really want that to be developed and something that they could compare to League with, because that's, I think, the big draw for League. But the big deterrent for League is sort of the level of toxicity and just the lack of fun that you have playing. So that's sort of the second thing that I really have high hopes for this game is fixing that toxicity that comes along with the MOBA and really just making the game more fun. And I'm pretty optimistic on this point. We saw already that the game really was focused on team kills and not solo kills as much. Like in the alpha version we played, this could just be because they haven't developed it, but it didn't even call out the name of who got the killing blow. It would just say, you know, triple kill, double kill for when teams got triple kills and double kills, not when, you know, Kerrigan got a double kill or whatever. So that was nice. And it definitely does seem, from what we saw and from what Blizzard said, that they're making it just a game to play with your friends, which is perfect for me. And I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for. They were aiming to make it shorter games, so it is easier to just hop in with your friends and bust out a couple of games because, you know, not everybody can play at the same time, certainly, and it's hard to sit down for hours and play a game with your buddies. And they also did mention a mode where you could pre-select the champions you wanted to play with your friends and then enter the queue. So, you know, like, if I'm going to be the assassin, Jekka is going to be the support, and Lil Albie is going to be the warrior, we could select the champions we wanted and then enter the queue, which would be pretty cool. I know I've heard discussions about that happening with League, but it sounded like something that is going to be a priority for Heroes, which is great. And I don't know if that's going to be for ranked or for a separate mode or what, but in any case, it's going to be a good place to just sort of have fun with your friends and play the way that you want to.
Yeah, I think on that, more about that, selecting your champion and locking that in, for me, that's going to be one of the best features. As in LoL, I feel like sometimes not a whole lot of people like support, and when I get stuck in support, I really only like playing Thresh, but in ranked, Thresh is always banned. So when I have to play support in a ranked game, I'm like, oh, well, this game is not going to be hardly that much fun. I like playing mid as Ahri a lot, and it would be great if, say, Sonya was something that I wanted to play every game where I could just lock that in and be like, I know that I'm going to get to play the hero that I want to, and I'm going to have fun in this game because I know that I'm going to play something I want.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it really did seem like that was their goal, was to make the game fun. So, and I mean, obviously, you know, Riot's goal with League is to have the game be fun, but just in some ways that the system is set up, that just doesn't work out, at least in ranked. I mean, I really hope that the way Heroes is set up alleviates some of the toxicity that makes LoL kind of just not fun to play. It seems like that's sort of the architecture, and that will succeed. But hopefully they do other little things. I was stoked from Hearthstone. Like, when I first heard about Hearthstone, I was like, that's going to be really fun, but there's going to be a ton of trolls. Like, it's just going to be a hassle to you know, lose a card game, because when you play a CCG, like, you know, it definitely sucks to lose. You've spent, you know, a good amount of time building your deck, and then you sit there for 20 minutes losing a match. But I don't feel any toxicity at all in Heroes, or Hearthstone, obviously because you can't chat with your opponent, which, it seems like that, like, before beta started, everyone was like, what, that's like, that sucks, that you can't talk with your opponent and there's no chat or anything like that, but it's really not that big of a deal, and it makes playing the game way more fun for me, because when I lose, I don't have someone trash-talking me or just being a dick in general, so... I'm not proposing that they disable all chat or something, but that might not be a bad idea. Hopefully they have other ideas for ways to sort of make the game a positive environment. Another thing that I hope they do is institute a sort of a positive reinforcement system for good behavior instead of like the negative reinforcement system for bad behavior like the tribunal is. Because obviously that doesn't work. Like, it doesn't seem like people care when they get banned, and permabans aren't really a good solution. Like, Riot talks a lot about they want to reform those players and have them come back to the game as a healthy and supportive player. So, and again, I don't know what this looks like, and that's why, you know, Blizzard will get all of my money if they could institute something like this, but some sort of a positive reinforcement system for good behavior, I think, would be a lot better than the slaps on the hand that the tribunal plays out. And so last thing for me, I do obviously want some form of ranked play or some place for progression. I'm sure they're going to have this in the game. I mean, they even have... you know, medals that you can progress through in Hearthstone from bronze all the way up to platinum, diamond, and master. But I am a little bit concerned that they aren't going to make this game as big as it could be, I guess. Like, I get the sense that they, like, don't want to try to compete with League of Legends because League is so big that they don't want to, like, set themselves up for failure. But I hope that they, like, do try to compete with League. Like, it seems at this point Heroes is kind of a side project. I mean, like, most of the team for Heroes were StarCraft II team members, so I'm not sure if they're like permanently switching over to Heroes and the StarCraft team is replacing them, or if they're recruiting a new team for Heroes, or how it works, but it seemed like the vibe they gave off was that it was kind of a side project, and they also made in their panels a lot of references to the success of Hearthstone and how they wanted to emulate that, and how Hearthstone's success really gave them a lot of encouragement in making Heroes. My hope is that Heroes is sort of a bigger piece of the Blizzard pie than Hearthstone is, and not just sort of a, you know, oh yeah, and we've got Heroes too, which is a fun game that you can play while you're not playing WoW. So in the same vein, you know, I really want them to develop their esports community for Heroes, because obviously the League is, I think, the biggest thing to esports ever, and that scene is huge. It seemed like they wanted to really keep StarCraft II as their premier esports arena, and I thought that someone asked a question about esports, and they said, like, it was up to the fans to develop the esports. I am not sure that I did hear that, and that could just be my internal fears coming out. I certainly hope that they invest in making Heroes a big esports player.
Yeah, do you guys think that we'll ever see a professional esports Heroes of the Storm that will sell out the Staples Center like League of Legends did?
I mean, that's my hope. Like, I think that would be awesome. Like, I liked watching the Heroes matches kind of better than I liked watching League matches. I like playing Heroes better than I like playing League. So, I mean, that would be my hope. It certainly is a big sort of mountain to climb. But Blizzard does produce some quality games, and they've done some big things. So I think that if anybody could do it, they could.
Hopefully BlizzCon is a good indication to Blizzard that they need to go a lot further with this game and really push it, because it the WoW expansion line was not a line. You could just basically go in and start playing. But the League line was super long. You had to wait 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes to walk around the whole line. And hopefully that they see that they take that as, oh, people are really interested in this game. We got to make it great and awesome.
Yep, and I think that's up to us and you listeners as well to just you know, stay active and keep the buzz about Heroes going, and you know, just slam Blizzard over the head with saying like, hey, we want this game, and this game is something that we would definitely be interested in. So Lil Albie, what are you looking forward to in the game, or what do you think is going to happen?
I'm looking forward to a lot more team play. Solo queue for League of Legends can suck so bad, and it gets so not fun to play anymore just because of not only people trolling, but just lack of game knowledge and objective knowledge. So I'm hoping in Heroes that it's almost a more dedicated base of players that really try to learn the game and listen to podcasts and read articles and really keep up with what's going on in the scene of the meta, and just really progression through team play and not just being selfish and wanting that pentakill, but doing things that benefit the whole team.
Yeah, I think you speak for us all. As much as we like the trolls and feeders in League, I think that our game would be much better without them. Jekka, what are you looking forward to, and what's some of your speculations?
I'm not quite sure what hasn't been covered. Why I'm definitely, the toxicity is what drives me away from LoL. I haven't played a ranked game in months because I just feel crappy afterwards. I get super angry because either I get matched with people that are dumb or people that are way better than me, and I'm like, I'm sorry guys, they call me a noob, and I'm like, that's right, I'm just terrible compared to you guys, and I don't even understand why I got matched here. That's one of my big speculations for Heroes is, so say Vamp, Lil Albie, and myself play a League game together. They rank us so incredibly high that we get matched against people that we just get throttled against. And that's not fun to me. They seem to way overvalue the ability for people to talk and vent or something like that, whereas it would be much more fun and fair if we got matched against people our own ranking that had our own skill. Because I think skill in League games far outweighs the ability to communicate over vent. Because it just doesn't seem like, yeah, you can set up a gank, but it's not going to replace that one-on-one fight where you win, the better player wins every single time, or last hitting where that person gets a ton of last hits and trades with you extremely well. So I'm hoping to see in Heroes where they do a better job of estimating your ability to play and match you against somebody that has about equal skill so that neither person is frustrated.
Yeah, the matchmaking system for League, I think, definitely overvalues partnering or duo queuing. I know whenever I'm on a team with a duo queue, I'm like, oh crap, like we're gonna lose. But that does another thing I hope for is that they have some actual system, a built-in system in the game to improve communication, because I think with the amount of teamwork that Heroes is going to require, it's going to make it hard to have that communication just be in typed chat if you aren't queued with your friends. So I think one way to solve that, as well as to solve the problem of you know, how do you value some players partnering together, would just be to have an in-game voice chat. You know, they've got their WoW in-game voice chat, which obviously isn't amazing, but still offering the solution, I think, or offering that opportunity for people to have that voice chat would be a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just because, you know, you try to ping and lol and nobody listens, but I can also see where an in-game chat could be, again, very toxic just because we do have players or people that play video games who get very angry and frustrated and don't know how to channel that in the right way. So I can see that being, I could see how Blizzard would be a little bit cautious about doing that. I don't know. I mean, how does the in-game chat work in WoW?
Well, the voice chat's just like vent or whatever. I see what you mean, though. Like, I guess I haven't played Call of Duty or Battlefield in a while, and I know, I guess some people on Xbox, when they've got their headset on, can still rage. My sort of opinion of the internet is, you know, people are way more tough guys when they're hiding behind their keyboard, and they don't typically, like, I don't know, like, someone could type, like, some terrible, terrible stuff to people in game chat. Obviously, I'm sure we've all seen that, but I would hope that people wouldn't actually, like, speak those words, like, into the air, you know, probably also considering their moms, like, on the couch behind them. But
yeah, good point.
But, yeah, I definitely, that's a good point that there could be some raging.
You did bring up Call of Duty, which is actually very interesting, because I played Call of Duty quite a lot, mainly Modern Warfare 2 and 3, I think were the ones. So I went on team chat quite frequently, and a lot of the times I liked playing the objective-based ones. I don't remember what they're called, but you had to, like, capture bases and hold flags or stuff like that. I would say most of the time when I was on team chat there weren't a lot of flamers or trolls or anything. People were communicating to most effectively capture points, and when someone's like, I'm going to sit here so you guys can go and I'll defend this, I found that that was more of the case than people trolling. And when people were trolling, it was easy to just mute them. And once they're muted, the rest of the team just kind of kept working together.
That's a good point. All right, well, thanks, guys. This has certainly been fun for me, and I hope it's been fun for you, the listeners, as well. We still have some content that we could talk about. We're running a little long on this podcast, so I think we will wrap it up. Sort of the typical podcast news. We will have a website, www.podcastofthestorm.com, and I'll work on getting an email set up. I would really love it for you guys to let us know, give us some of your feedback, how we could either structure the podcast better or what we could provide as far as content goes. And also, you know, send us in questions you had about the game for, you know, me or Jekka who have played, or just questions for us sort of on our thoughts or hopes for the game. So you can go ahead and email those questions to feedback@podcastofthestorm.com. Also want to remind you to go to www.heroesofthestorm.com to sign up for the beta and to you know, watch the cool cinematic and get some more info. And also follow at BlizzHeroes, at BlizzHeroes, on Twitter. That is the main Heroes of the Storm account, a Twitter account for BlizzHeroes. So they will you know, hopefully be posting any information or cool stuff there. So thanks, Lalby and Jekka. Good talking with you guys. And we will catch you guys later.
See ya.